Welcome to a Risen Life podcast. My name is Siva and I'm your host. On this podcast, I share my walk with Christ and how it looks like for me. The purpose of me sharing my walk is not to show how great I am, but how great my God is. You know, he is so great that he has changed me and completely turned my life around. So I believe the reason God had me create this podcast and sharing my very personal walk with God is also to build up the body of Christ. You know, just being vulnerable and sharing the things that sometimes people don't want to talk about within the church buildings. You know, I love talking about Jesus and what he's been doing in my life, you know, and in the world. So if that sounds like something you enjoy listening to, come walk this faith journey out with me, and I have new episodes every week. So let's get into it. For this episode, it's been hard to decide what I'd like to focus on because with all the craziness, you know, going on around the world and in my own messy thoughts, it's been hard for me to pinpoint exactly what to focus on. But I'd like to focus on the different seasons in your walk with Christ. It's something that has been on my mind for a while, and honestly, something I don't feel quite confident or adequate in sharing, as if I had full knowledge like how I normally do in all my other episodes. But I do feel strongly in my spirit to talk about it, if that's okay. So I want to be humble and to tell you that the reason I say this is because it's one of those topics where there isn't really a specific guide or, you know, that I can create, because it's going to really be different for just everyone in general. Just like how God speaks to you is going to be different from how he speaks to me. So it's one of those things where I cannot pinpoint into a guide, but I can at least lay down the reasons or purposes to those seasons in your life, so you have a general idea. So before we begin, let's pray. Father, hallowed be thy name. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the person listening today. I pray that these words be your words, not mine. Holy Spirit, you are welcomed here, and I pray your presence be felt in every room where this message is being played. Lord, I pray for the anointing of your Spirit to move the hearts and the minds of those you are near to. Whether the person is broken, hurt, contemplating suicide, depressed, or just simply searching for more in their lives. Holy Spirit, I pray your power overwhelms them, and your love, and to give them a sound mind and to be completely freed from those bondages. So let your message today be one that was least expected, but most needed. I love you and call you blessed. In Jesus' almighty name, amen. All right, so God will always use the number 4 to put the stamp of his creation on. And that's the meaning of the number 4 is creation, just like the 4 seasons that we have: spring, summer, fall, and winter, or the 4 elements: earth, air, fire, and water. We also have the 4 different regions: north, south, east, and west. And even in the day, in the daytime, the time can be divided from like morning, noon, evening, and night. So as you can see, there are all these things not created by man, but by God, way before civilization. I think most Christians are familiar with the 4 seasons, which are always talked about from the pulpit. And those 4 seasons are the wilderness season, the growing season, the pruning season, and the harvest season. So you may have heard those many times before. So before you were born again, or before you became a Christian, you were already walking through different phases of your life. We don't call them seasons, we call them phases, right? So in the secular world, we would use the term like party phase, my rebellious teenage phase, adulting phase, traveling phase, working out phase, or whatever phase. But once you are born again, you will notice your phases, air quotes, and your desires will start to gradually shift. When they begin to shift, they shift into a repeated cycle of four seasons, which are the seasons that I mentioned: the wilderness, growing, pruning, and the harvest. I just want to highlight that I specifically called out the word repeated cycles is because just like how we live in a world where we know when we see spring, summer is next, and fall, and when fall has arrived, then we know winter is coming. So God is a God of patterns, and you can see that all throughout the whole Bible. When you belong to Christ, he will reveal to you these seasons and the patterns because he is a consistent God and he never wants you to go unaware of your current season. He wants you to be equipped and prepared for any seasons in your life. When you're moving with him and staying in alignment to whatever season he has you moving into and operating in, you build more faith, more trust in God, and you build more intimacy with God. All of this is not meant to predict what he'll do in your life or your next phase, because you will never know, but at least be more aware of what he's doing in your life and respond correctly within that season to reap the most from it. That's the purpose of knowing your season. One thing I noticed about moving from season to season is that God will never move you into the next season if you have not yet learned the lesson or reason for the current season. It's like he'll keep you in that same season longer until you have learned your lesson or until you have obeyed what he last told you. There are so many of those tiny details or things that we ignore from God that keeps us from moving on to the next season. So it's always good to review weekly or daily what you're going through and what God did for you in those moments. I find that it helps you move along a lot quicker. So what season are you in right now? And what are the things you have learned or changed? If you're not sure, then you may need to spend more time with God to figure it out. He will absolutely give you the answer if you're willing to listen and, you know, more importantly, obey. Before I get into the four seasons, I do want to just make note of very important things that some people may consider as a season when it's really not. For example, spiritual warfare is not a season in its own. I don't believe it is, you know. Otherwise, for someone who's constantly going through spiritual warfare more than an average person, I guess, or who is called into the healing or deliverance ministry, they may think they're never getting out of this season, but that's not the case. I believe spiritual warfare can happen at any time during any of the four seasons. I believe the more warfare you see in your life, the closer you are to the destination where God wants you to be. So now you have devils basically keeping you from getting to your destination. Or it could also mean the complete opposite. Your flesh and spirit could be moving away from holiness. And so spiritually, you experience open doors that you had created by letting the enemy in, and the Christ in you is waging war because, you know, light and dark cannot exist together. So you need to be self-aware of your spirit, body, and mind. This may just feel like spiritual warfare, but it can just also be you fighting with the Holy Spirit in your flesh. And it's not really spiritual warfare in that sense. So recognizing that you're being tempted by your flesh, the eyes, ears, and mouth, is one thing. So if you're unsure, best solution is to simply fast and pray, because you're essentially killing two birds with one stone. Another thing I'd like to mention is that we like to combine into a specific season, just like spiritual warfare, right? We like to combine our testing and trial into a season. And again, I don't believe that's a season in itself. I believe in every season, we are always being tried and tested by God, some more than others. But I don't believe there's a specific season for just trial and testing. In Job chapter 7, verse 18, it says, "For you examine us every morning and test us every moment." So even with scripture, we are constantly being tested every day, every minute, every moment. That's why I don't believe that there is a specific season for just trial and testing. Every season has its own tests that you have to pass. As I said earlier, if you don't pass the tests or learn the lesson in that season, you won't move into the next season. You know, the movie scene will replay over and over again until you decide to make a different move or finally understand that what it is that the Lord is asking you to do. You know, sometimes it is seasons like that. It's where you find the greatest revelation or growth. And sometimes it's literally one thing God is asking you to do. But sometimes that one thing is the biggest thing you don't want to give up or do. And until you do, you cannot move forward. You're essentially stuck. I feel like depending how tightly you hold on to that, whatever that is, right? Depending how tightly you hold on to that, I feel like that's where a lot of people fall off in the faith, where they just choose to no longer believe or for whatever reason, because they want to hold on to that thing so bad. So there's testing in every season. And if God is testing you, what an honor, seriously, because the blessing behind that testing is going to be huge. The test is equivalent to being tried by the fire of God, you know, because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." You know, I think one thing we have to remember is that we were created as eternal beings meant to live with God forever. And once we're born again, we are guaranteed salvation by His Holy Spirit. And whatever test or trial we go through will be with us forever in eternity. Whatever lessons you learn or whatever wisdom you possess will always be with you, because it is a part of the walk with Christ. It is part of the character He is building within you to fulfill that purpose He has for you to fulfill. You know, we worry or only think about what our purpose on earth is. And that in itself is already hard enough to figure out for some people. But can you imagine what eternal purpose He has waiting for you in eternity? I can't even imagine it. Instead, my mind is automatically like in awe of what possibilities He can do when the old earth passes away and the new earth is made new. Like, I can't even imagine how that world and its purpose will be like, let alone my part or my purpose in it when it happens. So that's how big our God is. I also cannot imagine God just saying He'll stop testing us. As some of us, you know, we're built and wired to be competitive, or we like to test things or be tested ourselves. You know, it's weird. I think it's a program that we'll just have to get used to. Just hop on God's program of being tested. So with all that said, let's actually get into the four different seasons. So first we have the wilderness season, which is also equivalent to winter and just waiting on God. The wilderness in the Bible is when God brought his people into the wilderness to be separate from the rest of the world after being enslaved by Egypt, you know, for so long. During this wilderness journey, they had to depend on God for food and shelter. So it's a season where God wants you to be set apart and to also depend on him. In this season, I believe you'll go through some of the most intense trials in life where it's going to hurt and you'll be worried out of your mind all the time, maybe. But God wants you to give it all up to him, to trust in him, even when it doesn't make sense. Just like Jesus, after he was baptized by John by the river, he immediately went into the wilderness afterwards for 40 days and 40 nights to be tempted by Satan himself. So in Matthew 3:16 and 17, it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my son whom I love, and whom I love, with him I am well pleased.'" And then right after that, it goes into chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So I think after you have been born again, it is quite common for a new convert to experience this, because Jesus did and he conquered. So if he has gone before us and he now lives within us, we are also conquerors just as he is. This is a personal testimony. So after I told Jesus I will follow him for the rest of my life, if he gets me out of the mess of a relationship I was in and just the damage it had done in my life, I immediately felt his peace and presence. And I also immediately went into the wilderness with him. And I started dreaming again. So quick story or testimony is that 5 to 7 years prior to the day that I said that, made that commitment to the Lord, I had not had a dream like how I used to when I was younger. I used to have a dream every night. And for those 5 to 7 years straight, I just didn't dream at all. I would get a vivid dream once in a while, but they were mainly nightmares. I just somehow lost my ability to dream every night somewhere along the way. And when I made that commitment to Christ, I immediately had a dream almost every night again, like I normally did before. So, you know, the kind of commitment I made to Christ led my spirit down a journey into the wilderness where I did a lot of waiting, crying, wanting to end it all. But because I was born again and I made a promise to God and myself a long time ago, I would never attempt or commit suicide again, because I have before. I knew better now, but there were some pretty dark days. Let's just say that. A lot of lonely days, like never before. More days that felt like depression, but God was working on me internally, you know, having me read the Bible more intently and listening to sermons after sermons on YouTube to keep my mind sane. It was a dark time. I had days where I had to depend on the Lord for food because I was so broke from being in debt while trying to keep a roof over my head and choosing to starve instead. But God always came through somehow and made a way for me to eat especially during the days I was like worried I wouldn't make it to the next day because I was so hungry. Sometimes when I thought he would come through with a miracle where I got food and then I didn't, I would be slightly disappointed, but then I'd just pick up my Bible, I'd read it, and I was no longer hungry. Sometimes spiritual food was what you needed more than physical food, and I got through it. Now, I'm not trying to undermine the actual hunger in other third world countries. You know, I live in the US. I'm pretty blessed here, but you know, like with the lifestyle and the way that we live, like when you have gone from having so much to instantly having nothing, it's a struggle, right? It's a struggle with hunger, and that's all I'm really expressing. I'm not trying to say like I don't have food for weeks and months. I'm not trying to say that, but there are days when you do go hungry and you wonder where your next meal is going to come from. And it's very real. It happens here in the US as well. But the wilderness season was my most challenging season because he was getting me ready to cut certain people out of my life, and I knew I had to obey. And when I didn't obey, he made it clear by making those relationships super rocky. All the relationships that he wanted me to cut out of my life felt like they were all under attack. Everything was going wrong. There were so many arguments, disagreements, or just feeling like you're no longer clicking with someone anymore. Like they were all being shaken. You know, you would feel isolated and alone going through everything, and your whole world feels like it's falling apart from your home, relationships, job, family, and into your finances. They're just all falling apart. That is the wilderness. And some wilderness journeys are more rocky than others, depending where you are in life and in your faith. But I did a lot of waiting for my miracles within this season. It taught me to wait on the Lord, to trust his process, and just understanding that he has made promises to me, you know, from reading the Bible, that he will bring me through this rough time soon. And I just need to keep waiting and believing for it. When I finally stopped asking God why and when, and started saying he has a plan and I trust him, even though whatever I was doing did not make any sense to my family or my friends, but because God said so and I am obeying and trusting in him, I finally got my peace past understanding. My dreams came back. I learned how to love like how Jesus loves, you know, loving on my enemies and those who curse you. Was the very first thing he taught me during that wilderness season. And I learned how to hang on to promises made through reading his scriptures, you know? When I stopped stressing and worrying about everything, that's when, you know, the peace of knowing this too shall pass from Deuteronomy 28:1, it was such a blessing. So in Deuteronomy 28 verse 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I commanded you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth." So just remember, the wilderness is a time of many changes and challenges. But it is also the time you grow the most internally. It is the stage where majority of the changes are unseen by the world, but you experience supernatural growth internally. And that leads me to the next season, which is the growing season. When you're coming out of your wilderness season, you're usually going right into your growing season. It's like a natural transition from rain into blooming, beautiful flowers and sunshine, but not quite summer yet. You know, sometimes you don't even recognize you're in the growing season, because when you finally learned your lesson in the long wilderness, because you've been in the wilderness for what felt like forever, you don't even recognize you're already in the growing season. I found myself receiving revelation after revelation within the growing season. Everything that didn't make sense to me before in the wilderness and in my physical life started to make sense. Even the Bible started to make sense when some of the didn't make sense, because I was reading from Old Testament into the New Testament. So if you ever tried reading the Old Testament, a lot of it doesn't make sense, but it started to make sense. As you're moving into this season, you may find yourself going through that or recognizing something you've read before in the Bible that you didn't know was there. And now you have all this revelation about it. So that's how it felt like for me. And I started to just feel closer to God, like I was getting to know him more personally or moving on to that next personal level. I also found myself doubting a lot and questioning so many things, especially in the Bible, as my spiritual appetite for the word grew more and more each and every day. I was in a phase where I was seeking deeper meaning and deeper revelation. I found myself in that phase a lot during this season. And, you know, God would reveal it all to me if I just kept at it. He would reveal it. And my faith was tested like crazy in this season. But because I stayed focused on his words and received his revelations, I did not worry about, you know, things going wrong in my life. My life felt like it was on cruise control, but I was also being stretched spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. You know, my prayer life grew more because I was beginning to receive wisdom I never had before, and my character was being challenged every day, especially my patience and my stress levels. Like, I knew I was changing from within, and even though I didn't understand how it was going to end, I learned to embrace the season I was in, within the growing season. I was basically maturing in my faith. However, it was still a lonely season, and it was also where I had experienced the most spiritual warfare. And I think only because I was growing supernaturally, supernaturally fast, actually, that the devil didn't want me to know what I know now. Because I experienced spiritual warfare, I learned quickly my identity in Christ, and that I do not need to fear whatever was coming against me. Within this season of growing, I was tested by faith to share my faith with others and to step out of my comfort zone. I found myself having to explain to others my faith journey, and I didn't even know how to put it into words yet. But I was put into those positions as a test to see if I believe in Christ, in myself, and also how well I can present the gospel or explain it to someone else. I realized quickly that I had become a repentance street preacher who is crazy to the rest of the world when I was put in those situations. I looked insane, and I knew it, and I knew they knew it. You know, I was well aware of their facial expressions, but the fire burning inside was so real, you guys. But anyways, it was also, you know, the season of getting to know, like, the Holy Spirit for the first time, or better, get to know the Holy Spirit better. And also having to explain, like, the Trinity or having Holy Spirit like encounters and trying to figure out whether it was demonic or a coincidence or if it was God, you know, you start to go through those type of things in this season. And in the growing season, I was also discovering the bondages in my life and discovering the lies that I believed from the enemy. So I was breaking strongholds of lies, which also caused me to experience more spiritual warfare because I was basically destroying the enemy's camp by becoming more immersed in the word, becoming more aware of the enemy's tactics and schemes. This is why it is so crucial to read your Bible daily. You begin to break strongholds in your life that you don't even know was there. So this season wasn't easy because it requires change, a lot of it, and for you to be stretched outside of your comfort zones. So moving on to the next season, which also has a smooth transition. Once you have passed the test or have gained the growth required for the next season in order to move forward, the next season is the pruning season. And what does pruning mean? To cut or trim away dead or overgrown branches or stems to increase fruitfulness and growth. What does pruning mean in the Bible? It means to abide in Him and changing your priorities in order to bear fruitfulness, or basically the fruits of the spirits. It's very similar to, I feel like, the wilderness season, as it requires that you trust and abide in Him, trust His process. However, pruning is different in a sense that you already bear some fruit, right? And in order for you to fully bloom, there are still some things that need to be pruned in order for that to happen. So to see the fullness of the fruit produced in your life, you have to go through pruning. In John 15, verse 2, it says, Jesus said that every branch that does not bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I feel like because you're still focused on the growing season, which may overlap into the pruning season, you don't even realize you have changed into your pruning season. So in this season of pruning, you're starting to see some fruit in your life, but not until you've allowed God to prune or cut off the remaining branches out of your life. In this season, it was where I started to learn how to obey quickly, whether I was sure or not, if it was the Holy Spirit. I had a lot of those moments. Majority of the time, it was, only a handful of times where I got it wrong, but grace covered me and God corrected me right away with conviction in my spirit every time I got something wrong. You know, I would grieve at my mistakes, and what used to not bother me now bothers me. And I began to understand righteous anger, and I started to want to live holy and consecrated to the Lord. This was the season of baptism, of trusting the Holy Spirit and building the relationship with the Holy Spirit. This was the season of getting rid of the old things and watching God make all things new. This was the season where trusting in God becomes easy because you already bear the fruit of His love, His forgiveness, His mercy within your life. You've seen it. So this is the season where you feel His love for you and you start to understand how deep that love for you goes. For me, it was like you begin to realize that He truly leaves the 99 for the one lost sheep, and that sheep was you. This is the season of gratitude, even though it may hurt, and you know, even though it may hurt, you are still grateful. This is the season when you become weak and he becomes strong and visible within your life, the Christ in you. In this season is when you are the most protected and cared for because God is getting you ready to reap the harvest. In this season, I had the choice to turn back on God, even though I had seen all the wonderful things that he was doing in my life and just being happy with all that he had done and remain, I guess, lukewarm. I had that choice. But this is also the season I learned how to say yes to God. Like, this is where you learn to say, here am I, send me, right? Even though I have nothing to offer and I may be the worst option out there, but I am willing to sacrifice those fruitless branches in my life, even if it hurts. So let me be your vessel, God. Even when it embarrasses me, makes no sense, ruins my reputation, gets me into trouble. This is that season. So in the season of pruning, you either learn all those good biblical truths and characteristics, or you hang on to those dead branches and stay longer in a season that was meant to multiply your growth in the quickest way possible. So that's your choice. In John 15, verse 3 to 4, it says, "You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, which is Jesus, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me, in Christ." Also in Isaiah chapter 18, verse 5, it says, "For before the harvest, when the blossoming is over and the blossom becomes a ripening grape, he will cut off the shoots with a pruning knife and tear away and remove the branches." So the last season is the harvest season, which is the fall season where winter is coming, right? When we hear the word harvest, we think all things good. We get excited to reap the rewards and benefits for all the seeds we have sown throughout the year, or throughout the previous seasons, I guess. But we can also forget that if we never sowed any seeds in the previous seasons, we have no harvest to reap. And that's just the reality. Instead, we reap exactly what we did not sow. If you sowed a whole lot of evil deeds, you will reap it in your harvest season too. It's either going to be fruit bearing or judgment that you're reaping. If it is judgment that we reap in our harvest season, we cannot blame God or be angry at God because he is a righteous and just God. You know, in Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, "Sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time, they look and find nothing." I find harvest season as a season of reflection and also gratitude. I think this season requires us to reflect and write down everything good God has done throughout the year or previous seasons. You know, a harvest actually requires work in the field and then to reap it, right? So it isn't going to magically just be reaped unless you do some work to get the fruits out of the field, you know? In this season, I feel like you'll probably feel very busy. You may even feel like you don't have time for God or the Bible anymore because everything is all happening all at once. This is a season of testing as well, that even in your blessings of reaping, you have to remember who gave it to you in the first place and to keep him, God, first, even when it's all going good. And even if it's going to be bad, we got to keep him first. Despite being busy in life, you reap the harvest keeping God first at all times and, you know, making time for him in your busy season. Because even after you reap the harvest, you still need to be a good steward of the harvest you just reaped. It doesn't just end after the harvest. What are you doing with the blessings God has blessed you with? Are you consulting with him, or are you mindlessly making plans without him? Are you sowing back the first fruits of the field and giving it back to God, who is the first fruits? Or are you keeping everything to yourself, even in your harvest season? In this season of harvesting, you will be tempted by your blessings, and God wants to test if you have forgotten about him or not. Also, testing you if you will be comfortable and complacent in this season just because all is well. This season, God not only allows you to reap your blessings, but he also doesn't want you to forget that you have to prepare for the upcoming season, which is winter. And winter is the wilderness. Our lives go through ups and downs. And, you know, when we're at our highest, we usually come down as well. So being a good steward to your harvest and what you reaped will also determine how well your next season, the journey, how that will turn out. So will you be prepared because you were a good steward with the harvest? Or will you be put through the same wilderness journey all over again as last time because you forgot to apply to your life what you learned in that journey last time? So if you forget and repeat the same mistakes, you may possibly go through the same journey again until you've learned your lesson truly. So that's a second test, right? You know, many times in the Bible, the Jews would forget what God had done in the wilderness for them, and they would start worshiping idols and other gods, and they would provoke God to anger. Many times the Jews proved our human nature of how easily we forget the lessons we should have learned. It just proves it over and over again throughout the whole Bible. It's a pattern. You know, if you receive tons of financial blessings, consult with the Lord on what you should do with it. Use wisdom as well and save it for a rainy day, especially knowing your wilderness season is coming soon. Reflecting on your last wilderness journey about what happened during those months or years and what you learned from it and how you got through it ahead of time during your harvest season, just reviewing all of that, I think it will help you prepare for repeated trials that may come to test you if you had truly passed, you know, the old trial before giving you a new trial. Because a lot of it is new trials, you know, with the same lessons, right? It may look different, but the lesson may be the same. Drawing closer to God also is essential in this season, the harvest season, and praying for foresight or wisdom for the next season, because you are blessed in the current season, right? We never want to forget. We want to be grateful. So this harvest season requires a lot of, I feel like, preparation for a lot of different reasons. But the test seems to be that people forget to prepare because they only been collecting and enjoying the fruits of their labors. I believe we have to stay vigilant and also spiritually aware at all times, no matter the season. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce." So I hope this has been helpful. I may do a deep dive into each season separately, but we'll see where you know, the Holy Spirit leads me. But thank you for listening all the way to the end, and I'll see you on the next episode. Have a blessed day.